Over the next decade, Massachusetts is looking to get 1,600 megawatts of electricity from yet-to-be-developed offshore wind farms. Three developers have submitted wind farm proposals. Environmental and political leaders are counting on offshore wind not just to bring energy to the state, but also economic revitalization in aging port cities like New Bedford. For a look at how that might work, WBUR's Chris Bentley visited some ports in the UK where that's happening.
It's dawn in the English port of Grimsby. A few dozen seafood wholesalers huddle around tubs of fresh fish on ice, bidding on each lot with a flick of the wrist or a nod as the auctioneer barks.
10, 10 a bit.
This is a proud fishing town, even though fishing hasn't driven the economy here for decades. The collapse of England's fishing industry left a legacy of poverty and unemployment in the area. Still, when wind farm developers showed up about 10 years ago promising jobs, most people here were skeptical.
Oh my goodness, at first it was going to be the ruination of them all, and it's turned out to be the savior.
That's Martin Boyers, who has run the Grimsby fish market for 16 years. He says at first, fishermen thought offshore wind would scrub out what's left of the region's struggling fishing industry. Instead, offshore wind has become a major economic engine. Today, the waters off the coast of Grimsby are home to seven wind farms, generating enough electricity to power more than a million homes. And thousands more turbines are on the way, including what will be the biggest offshore wind farm in the world. And at the port, Boyers is busier than ever. After the daily fish auction, Boyers grabs a bacon bun from the cafeteria and heads to a control tower overlooking the port of Grimsby's locks. One after another, catamarans full of wind turbine technicians cruise out to service one of the wind farms off the coast. Boyers doesn't just manage the fish auction. He also runs the port of Grimsby East. These days, the port's biggest clients are crews doing operations and maintenance on wind farms.
I suppose the bit like vehicles, it needs servicing, and the wind farms need servicing in the same way. So the technicians leave port and go out to work on the turbines, which are fixed and working out in the North Sea. And we're the closest port to the North Sea, so this is the ideal place to be.
Boyers says it's clear that the fish business and offshore wind can coexist.
If we can do it in a place like Grimsby, which was steeped in history, and only fish. If you can do it in Grimsby, you can do it anywhere. So none of the ports along the eastern seaboard of the state need to worry about offshore renewables. It's an opportunity.
To try to capture that same opportunity, Massachusetts has put more than $100 million into upgrading New Bedford's Marine Commerce Terminal. If offshore wind takes off in the U.S., like it has in the U.K., it could mean lots of new jobs, not just in service and maintenance, but in manufacturing, too. That's already happened in the English city of Hull, just across the river from Grimsby. The German company Siemens chose Hull as the site of its first British factory for wind turbine blades. $375 million later, the factory just finished its first full year in operation. Each blade is about 250 feet long and has to be made almost entirely by hand. So far, the company has hired nearly 1,000 people to do that work, nearly all of them locals. Outside the factory, Barry Dennis, one of the plant's directors, marvels at a row of freshly finished turbine blades.
No, it's a phenomenal piece of engineering, really, when you think about it.
Dennis grew up nearby in a family of fishermen and used to work in the oil and gas industry, decommissioning old oil rigs. He says the wind industry has transformed the city.
The whole area has struggled over the last 20 years, but over the last 5 years, I think there's been a bit of a renaissance. You know, I think it's put us on the map as a place where we can do business.
Wind energy companies in the UK are only just now building new factories, a decade after the industry started taking off. That could happen in New Bedford, but it'll take time, says Benj Sykes. He runs UK operations for Ørsted, the world's biggest offshore wind developer.
What we need to see, though, is that visibility of a future market. Certainly, if you want to build a supply chain, you have to provide that visibility. No one's going to invest in manufacturing just for one or two projects.
Ørsted is Danish, but has its North American headquarters in Boston. It's one of the firms bidding to build the first offshore wind farm in Massachusetts.
There's a huge opportunity here to deliver low-cost, low-carbon electricity to large coastal markets in the U.S., and that's what we intend to do.
The U.S. may be a late arrival to the offshore wind industry, but that doesn't mean it's missed the boat. Emma Pinchbeck, head of the industry group Renewable UK, says the UK also hesitated at first, letting Denmark and Germany corner the market. That's starting to change as more companies build British factories like the one in Hull. And Pinchbeck says states along the east coast of the US could replicate that success if they bet big on offshore wind.
We are now the working example that if you do that, it will pay off in spades. And where you make less brave decisions, for example, 20 years ago, deciding that wind turbines were probably a bit niche, you're often wrong. I would back this industry to still have so much growth to come.
And if economic planners in Massachusetts have their way, that growth will be here. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Chris Bentley.